Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. In our verse-by-verse study, we have come to this point, and it's unique that we're on Mother's Day looking at the virtuous woman, beginning that text that deals with the virtuous woman. I don't know if we had planned it, if we could have planned it this carefully. And I thank God for His provision nonetheless. We won't cover all of this. There's a lot of ground here, and we'll in no way be able to cover all of this in tonight's message. I'm going to try to cover several verses. I've got 9 verses that I've studied out and made notes upon that I would like to try to cover, starting in verse 10 and going through verse 18. And we'll try, hopefully, to deal with these. By the way, I thank the Lord for His blessings. Dad sent word through Mom when I was talking to Mom. He said he got to hear about the last 10 minutes of the message this morning. And they were out and, you know, moving around. And so thank the Lord for that, that they got to listen in. A man called Monday, I believe, a man that he calls in once in a while, requests songs. He called in and said that he was sending a CD. He's from Mississippi. He's a truck driver. His first name's Rick. He said he's sending a CD up and I wanted me to listen to it, and he said these people are godly people. They live what they sing, and a good CD, all that, talking about it. And this is what he said. He called Monday, then he called back on Wednesday to see if we'd gotten it. And I said, no, we haven't gotten it. And he said, you should get it tomorrow. And he said, that according to the post office, yeah, the tracking thing, said you're supposed to get it tomorrow. And I said, okay, that'll be fine. And he said, he said, I'm enjoying this app. He said, we got the app off of WSOF.org. And he said, I'm really enjoying this app. We listen to it all the time. He said, we got a lot of folks in our church started listening to it. And he said, I used to deliver in Beaver Dam. He said, I hadn't been there all year. He said, we used to deliver there about every 2 or 3 weeks. And he said, I hadn't been there all year. And he said, but I enjoy listening to you through the app since I can't get you on the radio. But he said, that's how I first found out about it. Well, then he called back on Friday. He said, did you get it? I said, not that I know of. We may have gotten it. I said, I left before they got back with the mail. I don't know. And he said, well, if you didn't get it, you should get it. But he said, guess where I'm at? And I said, I don't know. He said, I'm in Beaver Dam listening to you. Amen. And so he said, I'm getting to hear you on the real radio. And this is what I'm thinking. We got listeners, and that's exciting and encouraging that they're getting help, but that God's answering their prayer. He prayed to get me back here and listen on the radio instead of the app. And you say, well, what good's that? I don't know necessarily, but God answers prayer. Amen. I'm glad that He does. Amen. Amen. All right, these are the Proverbs of chapter 31, part 2, looking in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. We'll end with verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. We'll stop there and ask the Lord to bless the reading of His word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord, yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Well, we're back to studying this final section of this chapter, which will be the final chapter in this book of Proverbs. And I mentioned last time we looked at the first nine verses, this is a famous chapter, but actually only two-thirds of it is famous. We looked at the first third, the first nine verses that are not so well known, and we dealt with some of those things there that I hope are helpful. But tonight we're going to look at these parts, or these that part of this at least is well known and pretty famous. So start off with verse number 10. This is a famous statement. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, first of all, I think it's interesting that this is not the statement of a man. It's not Solomon saying this. It's not Lemuel saying this. This is what his mother taught him. His mother taught him the value of a woman, a virtuous woman. She also taught him that some that are not virtuous are not valuable. Right? She's trying to encourage him to find the right one. But here's something else that I get from that. Not only these are not the words of a man, they're the words of a woman. But they're not just the words of a woman, they're the words of God. Amen. Because it's the prophecy, he said in verse number 1, that his mother taught him. The word prophecy doesn't mean, in this case, doesn't mean foretelling. It actually means the sacred words. She got some spiritual truth. Amen. Now, we're Baptists. We don't believe in women preachers. Somebody ought to run a lap on them. No, I'm kidding. But thank you for amening that. Yeah, thank you for amening. That's true. We don't believe in women preachers. But if we're not careful, sometimes we'll get the idea that women don't have any spiritual ability. Amen. Moses learned something at his mama's knee that he never forgot. Right. Samuel learned something at his mama's knee that he never forgot. Timothy learned something at his mama's knee and his grandmother's knee that he never forgot. Amen. And so, again, ladies, don't despair and say, well, there's so many things I can't do. Oh, there is so much you can do. Amen. And Lord, help us to be excited about what we can do. And I'll say this is not just for women. This is the case of men sometimes too. A lot of times we get this mentality. Well, there's things I can't do and we're not even noticing the things we could be doing that we're not doing and should be doing. Amen. Amen. Quit worrying about what you can't do or what can't be done. Look at what can be done and should be done. And let's do it for the glory of God. Amen. And so this statement that begins verse 10 is obviously, I believe, a principal part, a pinnacle part of this chapter. It's a principal part of what King Lemuel's mother taught him. He was taught from his mother. She warned him about the seduction of evil women. We saw that earlier in chapter number 31, the first part. She warns him about wicked women, not giving his strength to those wicked women. She warned him about the evils of intoxicating beverages. She warned him about involving himself in those intoxicating beverages. And then she goes on to talk to him about, she warns him about selfishness. And she warns him that he needs to be careful and concerned about others and, excuse me, and be a good king. In other words, be a good leader. We'll never be a king, but we can be leaders. We are leaders in one way or another. Men and women, by the way. We're leaders and we need to be good, godly leaders and involved in that. We need to be concerned about others. Amen. And so in this picture now, she goes moving on from that to spend the majority of her time and the majority of her effort painting him this beautiful picture. I believe it was Charles Bridges said she paints him a full-length portrait of the virtuous woman. That's a good way of saying it, isn't it? A full-length portrait. When you read this, you can see this woman from head to toe. You know a lot about her. Amen. And she is described in these in this text. Amen. She is portrayed as the choice gift of God. I said the other day in my preaching that when Satan dealt with Eve, he was after Adam. He was attacking Adam with the best thing God ever gave to Adam. That's what he does, by the way. The best gift God ever gave Adam was Eve, and Satan tried to tempt that and test that and tempt with that. He'll use that, and that's what he does. He'll take the blessings of God and even use them against us. Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 14 says this, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." You may get a house from a dad. You may inherit land. But if you get a good wife, it's from the hand of God. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Some men may give you a fortune. But if you get a good wife, she's a gift from God. Now, all these verses from verse 10 to the end of the chapter are part of an elegant Hebrew poem. This is a poem. There's 22 verses, from verse 10 through 31. Those are 22 verses. In those 22 verses, you know that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And every one of these verses begins with one of those letters in the Hebrew, not in our King James Bible, not in English. One of the things about Hebrew poetry didn't always rhyme. Most of the time it did do this. Most of the time it had a contrast or a comparison. One statement, then a mirror statement. And that's how these are as well. They're couplets, they call them, that go together in this. But they begin in this case. These 22 verses are all put together with the first letter. And by the way, they're in the order of their alphabet. We'd say A, B, C, alphabetical order, right? And they're in their order, each of these. Now, that's how Psalm 119 is written. That's how the Lamentations of Jeremiah are written. Other psalms are written that way also in different places. But the Lamentations, there's five chapters, and there's 22 verses in chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5. And so each of them have one of those verses. Then chapter 3 is 66 verses, and there's three each of those verses that are in those alphabetical terms. Now you say, why is that? Here's why I believe it is. I believe God inspired them to do it that way to aid them in memorization, to help us remember. And these words here, Psalm 31, are words that were required of mothers and daughters in Judea to memorize. They asked that every mother and daughter in Judea could memorize these verses and it be a part of their learning. I'd say, amen, that'd be a good thing to learn, wouldn't it? Amen. This poem sets forth to describe the goal to strive for, or the pinnacle to strive for as a wife or a mother. Many sermons have been preached. Many lessons have been taught concerning these verses and using these verses, and yet they've never been exhausted. All this was written centuries ago, and yet it's not exhausted. This is written in archaic language. Some of it is timed, and we'll notice some of that. In other words, it's time sensitive, but yet the truth is still relevant to us to this day. Amen. I said to you, we don't have a king, and this is dealing with a king. We don't have maidens. We don't have servant girls working for us. They did, and much of society or much of history has had that in one form or another. And yet we understand the concept, and we could see the truths that are being taught in this. And so these truths have not been changed. They're still the truth, and they still fit for us to use in our life in our needed position today. Amen. So first of all, notice the phrase, it's a question, who can find a virtuous woman? I think you can recognize right away, she's saying this is a challenge. It ain't easy. Matter of fact, she says it's rare. It's a challenge and it's a rare treasure when you find it. I mean, has any of us ever found a ruby? She said her price is far above rubies. Amen. And so the point there that we're getting is that it's a challenge. It's not something easily done, and it is a rare treasure. Abraham, you remember the father of the faith, Abraham was willing to send his faithful servant to a distant land to procure a good wife for his son. He didn't want one of them Canaanites. And by the way, I'd advise you young men, be careful of the Canaanites in the land. Amen. Be careful of the Canaanites in the land. Abraham sent his servant to go out there, and he didn't go himself. He didn't see her, but he was trusted and praying, no doubt, that he'd find a godly woman and brought back the one that was right for his son Isaac. Amen. And she, by the way, was an invaluable blessing to Isaac. And that's what this is talking about, a ruby. It's far above the price of it. It's far above rubies. It's very precious and very, very to be very treasured that we can have such a thing. So he says here in the text, who can find a virtuous woman? I don't remember which one of the commentators I read. Somebody said this. Said one of the reasons that a virtuous woman is so hard to find or so rarely found is because virtue is rarely sought after. You think about that. Virtue is rarely sought after. I think that's probably true. So ask this question. Do you value virtue? That's a question for us to ask ourselves. Do we value virtue? Far too many young people, both men and women, place more emphasis on looking good, sounding good, and appearing good than they do on being good. Looking good. You can have a filter do that for you. Right. I'm talking about a cell phone. I don't know how that works, but I know that's what they say they've used. A filter to do that. You can look good. It can be fake. Right. And I dealt with that the other night. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't like fake. I don't believe God likes fakes. I think fake have a lie in there somewhere. Right. But anyway, I get off of that. But this whole idea, looking good and maybe sounding good. A lot of these, these women run off with these men that they met on the internet. And they don't know if they'll work good or not, but they know all the knows they can type good. What they're saying sounds good. Amen. And you got to be so careful with that. So people are more interested in looking good, sounding good, and appearing good than they are in actually being good. And the virtue is what you are, not just what you sound like, look like, or appear to be. It's what you actually are. Now, there's this last phrase, for her price. You see that in verse number 10. Her price is far above rubies. It indicates that virtue is valuable. Amen. Rubies are valuable, scarce, and precious. I had heard that rubies are more scarce than diamonds. And so I looked it up, just Googled the question, are rubies worth more than diamonds? And according to the American Gem Trade Association, here's a quote from the American Gem Trade Association, quote, gem quality rubies are significantly rarer than diamonds. Amen. So not just their diamonds. We think about how rare. I've never even found a diamond. I mean, unless I was in a store. Yeah. But I've never just wandered upon a diamond. But this says her price far above rubies. So rubies are far above diamonds, and a virtuous woman's far above that. Is what he's dealing with in this. So in other words, he's saying here that a good wife is a precious treasure. Amen. Amen. And y'all hear me ever now and then reference my wife because I thank God for her. I thank God for my mama. This is Mother's Day. I understand that, but I'm thankful for my wife. I couldn't do what I'm doing or what I have done without a good wife. Amen. And God has gifted me with that, and I appreciate that. But Adam, even in his pre-fallen condition, in his that state of innocence, Adam was not complete, not good, without a wife. Amen. Without a wife. And you might say, well, but he ended up with Eve, and look what all Eve did. Yeah, but Eve, God didn't make her bad. He made her good. Following the devil, listening to the devil is what made her bad. God, amen, God made man upright. It's man that corrupted himself. That's right. And God made women upright. God made people upright. And they corrupt themselves in this wicked world. Amen. So I say again, a good wife is a priceless treasure. This is from me now, just from my heart. I could lose my car. I could lose my house. I could lose our church. But if I could have my wife, I'd be doing all right. I'd be able to make it. Somehow, God get us through this. Right? We can lose a child. We can lose a lot of precious things. But if we got our spouse, thank God we've got a treasure. Amen. We ought to recognize that. So, here's this. This is, look back at verse 1. I want you to notice these words. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So here's a king. His mama is describing to him something that even a king needs. Kings may have monetary treasures. She said those monetary treasures are not worth near as much as a marital treasure. Amen. She is encouraging him to find a good wife, a good marriage. Lemuel's mother wanted him to have both. I think she wanted to have the monetary treasure and the marital treasure. Amen. I want you to notice when this mother is talking to him about this woman. I just jump ahead and you know what the rest of the chapter holds. So just encompassing that without me reading it, just alluding to it. In what his mother wanted for him to have. In all these things she's mentioned about Lemuel, when you're looking for a wife, here's what you look for. You look for a virtuous woman. Notice she didn't say, which social status did she come from? She's not asking, is she high born? You know that? Lower class, higher class, all that. She don't care about that. She wants to know what her heart's like. Wants to know that she's virtuous. Amen. She wants to know that she is virtuous. She didn't question what kind of finances she could add to the marriage. She doesn't question what kind of alliances and allegiances that she can bring. By the way, that's one of the places Solomon got in trouble. You know, Solomon married all them women. I heard this week, they said that archaeologists have discovered that King Solomon died of old age waiting for one of his 700 wives to decide where they want to go to lunch. Could you imagine 700 wives having to decide? Anyway, that's a joke. But King Solomon, one of the problems with him marrying all them women, by the way, part of it, he married them not because of beauty and really not because of love. He married them, he wanted to make an allegiance. He married the daughter of Pharaoh because he wanted an allegiance with Egypt. He made them idols because he wanted an allegiance with their people and with their gods. And I'm telling you, a lot of kings have made that mistake. A lot of people have made that mistake. But let me just give this plug to you while I'm at it. Because I've seen this happen more than one time, and I haven't warned about it like I need to warn about it. Young men, when you're going to marry a girl, look at her family. You're not just marrying her. Amen. Young girls, when you're marrying a boy, don't just look at the boy. Look at his family. You're going to get the whole nine yards. Right? That's going to be your family. Yep. You say, well, I can straighten them out. His mama's probably worked on them for 18 or 20 years, and she ain't straightened them out. You're not going to straighten them out. Amen. That's right. Well, I'll leave that alone. That probably works. Well, I know it works both ways. It does. Amen. So anyway, here's the thing. This mother is concerned about the wife her son might choose, and she doesn't care if she's high born. She doesn't care what status she is in society. She doesn't care the finances. She doesn't care about the alliances and allegiances that she might bring in. But she is concerned about her heart. She is concerned about her morals. She is concerned about her virtue. Her whole concern is whether or not she's virtuous. Amen. Now, I put a note here. I'll get ready to move to verse 11 and 12. They go together. But I put this note here that I want to interject another observation that we can make about these instructions of King Lemuel's mother. She indicates that he should be looking for a virtuous woman. That's singular. Not women. Plural. Right. Kings had a habit of marrying a bunch of women. And it never worked out good for one of them. I sort of say none of them. But it's right. None of them it worked out good for. Multiple wives are not of God. And she said, you need to find a virtuous woman, not multiple women. And I said this morning, God only made one woman for Adam. I believe that's right. I believe that's his plan. And she, this mother of Lemuel, must have concluded, if it's good enough the way God did it in the beginning, it's still good enough for her boy. I say amen right there. Amen. It'd be good for parents to teach their children to wait for the right one. Amen. And then that principle's continued in the next verses. Look at 11 and 12. I said, I think they go together. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So the first quality mentioned about this virtuous woman is that of faithfulness. Fidelity. That's a word we don't use a lot today, but it means that she is faithful to him. Inviolable. In other words, no way for it to be violated. She's not going to violate her fidelity. She's not going to violate her faithfulness. In other words, she is trustworthy. Don't matter how good the next fella can type. Don't matter how good the next fella can talk. It don't matter what kind of car the next fella's got. It don't matter what kind of job the next fella's got. It don't matter what kind of offer he's got to make to her. Don't matter. She's faithful. Amen. The heart of her husband. The heart now. Right down. He can trust her to the depths of his being. That's the idea of that. Amen. Doth safely trust in her. Not just doth wholly, completely trust. It's safe. There's some people it's not safe for you to trust. Amen. She's trustworthy. She's stable, not flighty. She's faithful, not flirty. Amen? Amen. I still get a little bit agitated, and I don't understand why. Well, I think I do understand why. But for example, you go through these drive-through windows, and these kids are honey, sweetie, sugar. They're talking to an old man. With his wife sitting beside him. That ain't too wise. But all it, and by, I don't think they mean anything by it. But here's the point. Then what is it for if you don't mean anything by it? Here's what we do. We get caught up in words and be honest with you. There's a lot of people are flirty when they shouldn't be flirty. Amen. Amen. Here's what this says about, and this is a wife. A mother telling her son about this virtuous woman. Verse 11, notice these phrases. The heart of her husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So this man knows in his heart that he can trust her. Not just he knows it in his head. Not just he thinks he's got a pretty good idea. He knows in his heart. Amen. I was working at the glass factory in about a 3-month period. Two men, I worked in the shipping department there in one point. Two men in the shipping department tapped their own phone so they could find out what their wife was doing when they were gone. And both of them caught their wife cheating on them. Both of them. You reckon any of the other of us men thought, I wonder if I ought to tap my phone? I mean, 2 out of 2 statistics don't lie, do they? I guarantee you the devil climbed up on people's shoulder and said, you better check. And I'll be honest with you, it crossed my mind. But I tell you what I did, my heart trusted in my wife because she never gave me a reason to believe. Right? Now, I'll back up and say this. Those men had reason to believe that they needed to tap their phone before they ever tapped their phone. Right? They had reason to believe that. And I could chase a lot of rabbits in there. But I'm just simply saying this. He knows in his heart that he can trust her affections. He does not have grounds for jealousy. He does not have grounds for questioning. Amen. Amen. Speaking about the heart of her husband that's dealing with his thoughts and his feelings and his emotions. Amen. For out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's dealing with your thoughts and the words that you use. So this idea of the heart of her husband is dealing with his thoughts. His thoughts can safely trust in her. His feelings can safely trust in her. His emotions can safely trust. By the way, I back up. I said that about working on job and those statistics and how many women have to worry themselves to death about their husband because they hear all these stories of all these men that run off with some woman. And the devil says they're all doing it, and the devil's a liar.
Amen.
Amen. But you know what he wants to do? He wants to tempt the man to do it, and he wants to tempt the wife to worry whether he's doing it or not. And he wants to tempt the wife to do it, and he wants to tempt the man to worry whether she's doing it or not. Amen. Amen. So, in this case, this is what his heart knows. His heart knows that she loves him, and his heart knows that she will be faithful to him and will continue to love him. And so I put another note here. This is my personal interjection. I personally don't believe that love is a fickle thing. I don't believe you can love somebody with all your heart today and hate them with every ounce of you being tomorrow. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe you can love somebody, be deeply in love with somebody. The phrase they use is fall in love with somebody. That's to be totally overwhelmed with love. And then fall out of love in a matter of days. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, I'll back up and use this illustration because I looked it up and read about it again to make sure how that it panned out. 2 Samuel chapter 13, Amnon declares his love for his sister. She was a half-sister. Still not right. He declares his love for her. And he goes to the point that he longs after her so much that he gets physically sick. And then he feigns a sickness. And in that sickness, he asks for her to come and bring him, cook him a meal and bring it to him and feed it to him while he's lying in bed. And you know the story. He overpowers her, rapes her. And then the Bible says in, I believe it's about verse 15, it says that he hates her. And it said the love that he had for, that the hatred that he had for was more than the love that he had for before. Now here you say, preacher, you just said a man can't really love and then hate that quickly. He didn't really love her. Love don't cause people to rape people. Wasn't love that caused him to rape his sister. Wasn't love caused him to lie about his sickness. Wasn't love that caused him to concoct that plan, how that he could get what he wanted. That wasn't love. That was lust. Amen. And a lot of people marry and say, oh, I love you. They don't love you. They lust. They don't know love. And if they can fall out of that so quickly, it's guaranteed it wasn't love to start with.
Amen.
It was lust. And when lust is satisfied, lust is through with you. That's right. And that's what happened in the case of Amnon. Amen. And so I believe this. When somebody claims they love you and all it is lust, when that love vanishes, it wasn't love to start with. It was lust all along. It's lust that vanished, not love. Now, King Lemuel's mother, back in Proverbs, his mother takes it for granted that his heart is knit or will be knit to the heart of his wife. Amen. She's talking about his heart. She's talking about her being virtuous, this woman, and her husband's heart being knit with her heart. Now, here's what I want you to notice in that. This virtuous woman, her heart's knit to her husband. And the mama is saying, now, Lemuel, I'm expecting your heart to be knit to her. Just like you don't have to worry about her looking for somebody else, don't you be looking for somebody else. Amen. Have your heart knit to her. Amen. She insinuates that he would be faithful to his wife, just like his wife would be faithful to him. That she expects him to be faithful to his wife, just like he expects his wife to be faithful to him. I listened to something the other day, heard a conversation, and this psychologist talking about people that come with marital problems. This is what he said. He said, I've never known of a divorce where a man got all upset about his wife not washing the dishes quick enough. He don't care about the dishes like he cares about faithfulness. What breaks up a marriage is unfaithfulness. Even sinners, by the way, even sinners know. Sinners know that it's cheating on me. It's doing me wrong. Sinners know that. Right? Now, I know they've got this thing today they call open marriage. That's not a marriage. That's a perversion. Amen. Marriage is between two, a man and his wife, nobody else involved. Amen. But even sinners know that if you break that covenant or that if you break that faithfulness, even if there's no ring on the finger, even if there's no vows been made yet, they know you're cheating on me when you're unfaithful. And just like the man expects her to be faithful, she can expect him to be. That's what he's dealing with in this text. I believe that Lemuel's mother is speaking that to him. Amen. So, she's talking about the faithfulness of this woman. This faithfulness of her character goes far beyond just sexual purity. He can trust her. Notice, look at verse 11 again. I'll read it to you. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her about sexual things. It doesn't say that, does it? But that's how we take it. She'll be faithful to him. It's not just talking about sexual things. He can trust her with money. Yeah, he can trust her with the finances. She won't go out and spend crazy. He can trust her. That's what a virtuous woman is. He can trust her with the household. She'll take care of the house. He can trust her with that. Amen. He can trust her. He can trust her with the automobile. She won't run it out of gas and run it out of oil. She'll be careful with it. Amen. I ain't getting too many amens. But I believe that's right. I believe everything he's talking about, she can be trusted. She'll work at being trusted. That don't mean they never make a mistake. Come on now. Now I know what you fellas, especially Joshua, he didn't want to trust her with that new automobile. Amen. She'll wind up parking in the wrong spot. I mean, you know, you see that. Can't tell where to park anyway. Get over that. But seriously, here's what she's dealing with. He can trust her in every area of their life. Here's what I believe, that virtuous woman, he can trust where she'll be on Sunday morning. She'll have a faithful spot on Sunday morning. Amen. He can trust where she'll be on Sunday night and Wednesday night and prayer meeting and revival meeting and marathon and amen. Camp meeting, all these different things. Bible conference. He can trust her. She'll be faithful to those things. Amen. You say, preacher, you're being facetious. No, I'm being literal, honest about what I believe right here in the text. He not only trusts her. I said it already. He safely trusts her. Amen. He can trust her devotion to God as well as her devotion to her family. Amen. She'll pray and live godly in the sight of her children and in the sight of her neighbors. She won't be stripping off her clothes and sunbathing in the yards. Amen right there. Amen. She won't be yelling and cursing the neighbors or the children or her husband. Amen. Or the dog or the cat. Or the preacher. Better add that in there. Amen. Look at what it says in the last part of verse number 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Carries the idea that she won't embarrass him by proving unfaithful in those areas that I mentioned above. She'll do him good, not just once in a while, all the days of her life. She'll attempt to be a good wife. She'll attempt to be a good mother. She'll attempt to be a good Christian. Amen. She will attempt to do him good all the days of her life. Now, listen to me. Her body may not be strong as an ox. And I don't know why a man would want to marry a body-lifting woman anyway. Amen. Her body may not be as strong as an ox, but her faith and her heart and her soul is strong in spiritual things. She's strong in her devotion. She's strong in her faithfulness. She's strong in her character, and he can trust in her heart. Amen. Amen. The virtuous woman knows her husband. Here's what's interesting about, you read this. This virtuous woman, she's going to do all this good all the days of her life. What if he ain't a good man? How many of them are there? I mean, you get married. Wives, you don't have to amen this. Please, no participation here. One of the few times I want no participation. But when you get married, you find out probably most men have quirks. They got something that you didn't know about. They keep it hid from you. Because, you know, dating is so you get to know each other, but really dating is so you can hide from the other one. I hope she don't know I got bad breath. I hope she don't know I don't wash my feet. I hope she don't know I throw my clothes everywhere. I hope she don't find, but she'll find out all that one of these days. Now here's what King Lemuel's mama said. She didn't say, she'll be good to him if he's perfect too. She'll be good to him, even with his quirks. Even with the embarrassing things. Amen. Even with the things that may get on your nerves and may even hurt. She'll do him good all the days of her life. By the way, that's the way it used to be preached and taught. Amen. You just talk. You don't just call this thing off when you get ready to. Amen. Mamas used to tell their daughters, you made your bed. Right? Daddies used to tell their boys, you made your bed. Right? I heard a preacher say this years ago. He said, if you marry a rattlesnake, get used to rattles. I hate it, but that's right. God don't give you license to not do him good all the days. Matter of fact, he says that the virtuous woman will do him good all the days of her life. Amen. She'll seek to please him. She'll seek to honor him. She'll seek to help him even with all his quirks and his ways. Now, I said that. That does not give man or men a license to sin or to mistreat their wife. Here's what I do believe. I believe this all my life, and I believe it goes for male or female, but I'm going to use it today in this. If a woman, a good godly woman, marries a mean, sorry man, God will deal with that man if she'll stay true to God. Amen. If he's cheating, God will reveal it and God will prove him out one of these days. Right. I think it goes on the other side of that too. Good godly man, trying to live for God. He's got a wife that's sorry, a wife that won't serve God. If he'll stay true to God, God will deal with that woman. He'll either save her and turn her around or he'll move her out of the way. I believe that. Amen. I really believe that. But again, and I said this the other day, most of us don't have patience to wait on God. Right? We don't have faith in God's timing that we can wait on God to do those things. Now, so I'm back to, don't give a man a right to sin, a license to sin, or to mistreat his wife. As a matter of fact, if a man has a virtuous wife, he'd be a fool to mistreat her. Amen. Now, notice this helpfulness she is to her husband. Her faithfulness to her husband is not for a short amount of time. It's not till the honeymoon is over, as he say. Right? It's all the days of her life. Did you know that science still, I think it's probably always been this way, but it's still this way today. Even with all the advance of science, women tend to outlive men. So it don't just say she'll do him good all the days of his life, and when he's gone, then she's going to go wild. No, it says she'll do him good. She won't dishonor him for her whole life. Amen. That don't mean she can't remarry, but you understand, I believe what it's saying is that she'll live honorably, not just till he's gone. She'll live honorably all the days of her life. I've said this years ago. I had a situation when I was pastor in North Carolina, a situation where a good man, a deacon, died, and his wife went crazy, went running after men. I had Brother Milby with me, and I know of another case very similar to this. Different, but some similarities. I'll leave it that way. But I had Brother Milby with me shortly after all that, and I was talking to him about that. He, matter of fact, he pointed it out when he was there one time that he's with me. He said, "Brother Shepherd, you ever heard me preach that message on wolves in your church?" I said, "Yes, sir, I have. I've got the book. I've heard you preach it, not in person, but I heard it on tape." And he said, "Well, you've got wolves in your church." I said, "Okay." He said, "Do you want me to point them out?" And I said, "I don't know if I do or not." He said, "I'll point out two, a man and a woman." And he pointed out two. And the man I suspected, because I'd seen some things. And he proved out, by the way. But the woman I didn't suspect, and it was this woman, that when her husband died, she started chasing after a married man and then another man. And this is what Brother Milby said to me when I talked to him about that. Brother Milby said, "Brother Shepherd, some women, when their husband dies, they've lost their head. Some women, when they lose their head, they lose their head." I think that's right. But here's the point, and I believe this is true in a lot of cases. Sometimes a woman is going to church because her husband does. A woman's doing right because her husband does. And as long as he does, she will. And matter of fact, you go knock on doors and talk to people, and you say, "Would y'all like to come to church?" And a lot of times a woman will say, "If he will, I will." And she means that. But what if he don't? But what if he don't? Are you going to do right just because he does right? Right? And then here's what we do. Well, for example, in this culture where men do cheat on their wives or wives do cheat on their men, are you going to be unfaithful because they were unfaithful? Do two wrongs make a right? Is it going to help anything for you to jump into the same sin that you're mad at them for being in? It ain't going to help. Amen. Again, I'm not getting a lot of amens, but it's still right. She is devoted to him all the days of her life. In other words, her devotion is constant. Amen. Through thick or thin, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, she's going to be faithful. She's devoted. That's what it's talking about. And when he recognizes this, he praises her. Amen. Or if he don't, she still is constantly faithful. If he praises her or if he don't. Now, this woman that we're going to read about here is a strong woman. Now, I'm taking a little bit of time in these first few verses, but the next five or six are going to move fast. Faster. Maybe not fast. Faster. All right. Things we're going to notice about this virtuous woman, she is a strong woman. She may be the weaker vessel, but she's a strong woman. Amen. She's a strong one. Matter of fact, the word virtuous, you can look it up in Strong's Concordance. Strong's number 2428, and it means a force, an army, wealth, virtue, valor, or strength. She's a strong woman. That's what it means. She's got strong character. That's what virtue is. Strong character. She has moral strength. She has spiritual stamina. Amen. God is her helper. And she seeks to be a helper to her husband and to her children and even to others. She's known for her faithfulness. She's known for her devotedness. And then these next several verses deal with she's known for her diligence. They detail her diligence. Look at verse 13, and we'll just go through these next ones one after another quickly. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Speaking about physical labor there. I believe it's wool and flax would deal with clothing, sewing, and material that they would be using. This virtuous woman is not idle. She's said to be working willingly with her hands. Amen. That word willingly, Strong's number 2656, it means with pleasure. She doesn't begrudge the work she does. Amen. Ladies, especially you ladies got little children, got a house full of little children, or a handful. I mean, one can be a handful at times too. But you got a handful of little children and a husband, and he's a working man, and a dirty and things. Do you ever get tired of doing laundry? I mean, you don't just do laundry once a month anymore, do you? Right. Some of you probably do laundry every day. When our kids are home, at home, my wife did laundry every day. Yeah. You just got to do it. You ever get tired of doing laundry? Here's this woman. She's not just doing laundry. She's making the clothes. Amen. By the way, they didn't have electric sewing machines back then. They didn't have Walmart. Just run down to Walmart and buy it from China. Amen. You couldn't just order it on Amazon, have it shipped next day. They're making these things. She's probably chopping wood, starting a fire, not using disposable diapers, not buying formula. I'm talking about a lot of work, a lot of work. She's a strong woman. She's working willingly. That means cheerfully. Amen. We've all heard stories about people tip about their mama, for example, how that she'd be in the kitchen maybe doing dishes and singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, or singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. That's cheerful. That's how we need to get back to working. Amen? With pleasure, that's what it's talking about. With pleasure. Amen. Now, notice these specific materials of wool and flax were according to what they used in those ancient times. They were readily available to them. And yet, that's not what we have today in particular, but the principle's still there. The principles are universal, and the principles are timeless there. It's dealing with the fact of her duty. You don't have to make clothes today. Maybe you do make clothes. Thank God if you do. If you do make them, that's got more material in them than most of what they're selling down at the store. Amen. But it's talking about what she does do. She's willing to work with it. It details her duty and her diligence, her care, her carefulness, and her cheerfulness. It speaks about a woman that's careful about her home and her wardrobe. I know people say, well, God don't care what you wear. That's one of the first things he mentions about this virtuous woman. That's one of the first things he dealt with Adam and Eve about. Them little skimpy aprons wasn't enough. And by the way, I do not believe, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I don't believe that, matter of fact, write it down on, Brother Samuel, you say, write it down on a piece of paper. If you think I'm wrong, write this down on a piece of paper, stick it in your Bible. When you get to heaven, ask God about it. He'll tell you I'm right, and I believe he will. When God made Adam and Eve clothes, he didn't make it so Adam couldn't tell his from hers. No, Adam's clothes was Adam's clothes as men's apparel. Eve's clothes was Eve's clothes as women's apparel. I believe that. But God did care what they wore. God actually made the first set of clothes, and then he left it up to them to make it. And these people was making it. But thank God we don't live in those days, but we still ought to be careful how we dress. She's careful about her home. She's careful about her duty. She's careful about her wardrobe. Amen. She's careful about her household. This woman is practical. Wool and flax don't necessarily feel good or look good all the time. But she's careful about it. She's practical. Amen. She don't have to have silk and scarlet all the time. I'm talking about a woman who's going to be a king's wife. Amen. She's not elaborate or extravagant. She's willing to use common materials for practical purposes. And it looks to me like she's willing to do this from her own home. Amen. She's willing to do this from all she can, at least, from her own home. She seeks out the material that she can work, and it says, with her own hands. You see that, verse 13, worketh willingly with her hands. That's probably in her house. All right, verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships She bringeth her food from afar. Amen. One fellow said, that's my wife. She burns everything. She brings it all from afar. Just sets a fire out and just about sets the whole house afar. No, but this is talking about she's seeking out. By the way, first of all, she sought out the wool and flax. She's looking for it. She's careful about it. But she's also seeking out the right kind of food. She's looking for those things. She's on the lookout for goods that'll be beneficial to her home. She's on the lookout for food that can be gathered that will supply and support her family. Amen. She's seeking out these materials. Most commentators explain that this woman not only made clothing that was sufficient for her family, but apparently she made enough to sell and use the extra. She's talking about the merchant ships. She's sending things out, bringing money in that she can use to get the other things that she needs. That's talking about wise management. Amen. They don't teach that in school. They don't teach that in a lot of homes nowadays. But boys and girls need to be taught wise management. Careful attention to the details. Diligent labor, hard work, male and female. Amen. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it's yet night. That's talking about she gets up early. Before the sun gets up, she's up. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. All right, she's an early riser. She's also stays up late. Look at verse 18. We'll get to that in a moment. The last phrase of verse 18, her candle goeth not out by night. So she's up late. She's up early. Motherhood ain't a 9-to-5 job. Motherhood is a 24/7 job. Amen. And I'm going to plug this. I know it's Mother's Day, but men, fatherhood's not a 9-to-5 job either. When you've punched your clock in and you've punched your clock out, your job ain't necessarily over. You got a home and a family, and they need you. Amen. In this case, this woman is a diligent worker. That's the point that he's making. She's not slothful. She's not lazy. She's active. Amen. Now, I know some people have sicknesses. They can't always do everything. I also believe we've got a generation to learn to milk that too. Yeah, they've learned to milk those disabilities for all it's worth, and then some, by the way. And then some. She's not slothful. She's not lazy. She's active. She's not wasteful. She's careful. She doesn't expect others to do for her. She does for others. Now notice this woman. I'm in verse 15. She ariseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. She feeds her family. She's careful to feed her family. But not just that. And a portion to her maidens. This woman's got servants. But she doesn't expect the servants to just be serving her. She's working in it. And they're laboring together in this matter. Now, I can just hear it today. If somebody's listening on the radio, they're saying, listen to that patriarchal fool up there making slaves out of women. This Bible's talking about virtuous women. He's not talking about slaves. He's talking about this woman does this cheerfully. She's happy to be serving her family. And I'll just give you a secret. I believe this is right. I got on radical feminism this morning. I don't know why I walk out here and walk that way. Let me do it this way, all right? I know why it is, because they moved over there. All right. I use her as an illustration one time and then move on. No, I'm just kidding. Radical feminism tells you don't listen to anybody. Don't let anybody put you under their thumb. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't you be your own boss. I'm going to tell you what. They're miserable, miserable, miserable. I'll tell you what will make you happy. Did any of you hear J.B. Buffett in this week? I believe it was either Thursday or Friday. He was talking about if you want joy in your family, if you want happiness in your home, he said, help somebody, serve somebody else, and you'll find happiness will come every time. He said, he's talking about his church there now. He said, if everybody in our church would go out this week with a determination to serve somebody else, he said, when we come in here next Sunday, the roof wouldn't stay on the building, and it wouldn't keep us down. There'd be so much joy. I'm telling you, there is joy in serving, but there's there is bitterness in selfishness. We've raised a generation of selfish people, men and women, boys and girls. Selfish people, and they're the most miserable people that ever lived. They're not only miserable, they're making it miserable for everybody else. Amen. I'd like to quote Brother Matt. He said something this morning. I can't quote it, but I can get close to what he said. He said, this crowd out here running around hollering, we want our rights, we want our rights, we want our... They're always talking about they fought for their rights. They fought for their rights. He said they ain't never fought for nothing. He said all they've done is cried long enough till somebody gave them what they asked for. I said, amen. That's absolutely right. Amen. All right. I didn't see that in the text, but it's there. All right. She's helping even her maidens. Now, again, we don't have that, but this is a woman in a king's house now. The king's going to marry this woman. She's, even though she's living in a king's palace, she doesn't just recline in leisure and let everybody serve her. She finds purpose in serving others. Amen. Amen. She actually goes before them. She rises before them and she helps them in their labors. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Now, I don't know that that means that she gets her real estate license and goes to buying real estate and reselling, flipping houses and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's what it actually means. But this is what it does mean. No question that it does mean that she's careful about how she spends money. She's careful how the money she uses is invested. She doesn't waste money on trinkets. She doesn't waste money on vanity. She invests in something that'll better her home, that'll better her husband, that'll better her children and her household. She makes wise purchases is what it's talking about. Amen. Notice verse 16 says, she considereth a field. That considereth means she thinks about it. As Strong's number 2161, it means to plan. Here's my point. She's not an impulse buyer. Yeah. She plans her menu. She plans her grocery list. She plans her spending. Yeah. She knows when the bills are due and all that. Thank God. Amen. My wife's really good at that. I thank God for that. Amen. She plans for things that she knows will be beneficial to her family. This woman buys a field, but notice this. Not only she buys a field, and with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So here's just a barren field, and she turns it into a vineyard. Here's what I believe it's saying, that what she does get, she betters it. Amen. She takes what she's got or what she can come about, and she betters. In other words, I don't believe, again, that's just talking about her buying real estate and farming it. I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it's talking about she betters the things she gets. Those useful purposes or purchases that she makes, she has a purpose for them. I think we can see she improves what she has in her hand. In other words, she can take what she has and use it for the best end. For example, some of you ladies, and my wife can do this, you can take leftovers and turn it into a casserole. That's ingenious. You can take scraps of cloth and turn it into a quilt. That's ingenious. That's using your mind and repurposing. Way before they ever started recycling, women was doing that for thousands of years before they started talking about recycling. Amen. Amen. All right. That's being thrifty, by the way. That's ingenious and thrifty, and that's what this woman is. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In other words, she stays active and exercises her body. She exercises her muscles. Not just that she lifts weights and does exercises. That's not what it's talking about. But it's that she's careful to maintain her health so she can look after the health of her family. Amen. She's not sipping on lattes all day long and eating donuts. Amen. She's careful. That don't mean you can't ever have a latte or a donut. Mother's Day might be all right. Only comes around once a year. Amen. Amen. But this virtuous woman is a strong woman. That's what he's talking about here. And again, strong in spiritual matters. Not always strong in the physical things, but strong in moral values, spiritual matters. Strong in love, strong in devotion. Amen. Even if not always strong in body. Verse 18, and I'll quit. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. Again, he's talking about diligence. He's gave us these details about her diligence. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Now listen, she don't make shoddy clothes or chandeliers. She don't cut corners in what she does. Amen. You ladies, you fix something. My wife does this all the time. You make something. I'm talking about cook up something. And you worry about it. Is this really good? I mean, you're asking a bunch of hogs. I mean, they're eating it. And you say, is this any good? But you worry about it because you don't want... Listen, I say don't cut corners. Now, there's sometimes you don't always have the best of all the ingredients, and you gotta make do. My wife, I don't know how she does that, but she'll say, well, I didn't have this, so I used that, and I didn't have this, so I used that. And praise God. Amen. I didn't have meat for the meatloaf, so it's bread loaf. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, the thing is, she wants it to be good, not just to be healthful, not just for it to be helpful. She wants it to be pleasing. Amen. The wife wants her house to be pleasing. Men don't care. Most men don't. Amen. Most men don't care. But the wife wants it to be pleasing. She don't want the neighbors even to know that the house might have one dirty closet. Yeah. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She's careful about all these things. That's what it's talking about. She doesn't do things halfway. She makes sure that her merchandise is good. But then that last phrase, her candle goeth not out by night. Now I'm going to plug this. She's not up all night partying. Amen. She's not up all night gossiping. She's not up all night carousing. But there are times that she has to work late. That's what it's saying. I don't believe this is talking about she's up every day before the sun rises and up late into the night every night. But I believe it's just talking about when the need is required, she just does whatever has to be required. Thank God for godly mothers like that. Amen. Godly wives like that. Amen. On those occasions when her labor requires her to sit up late, she just does it. Amen. She's not averse to getting up early in the morning. She's not averse to staying up late if duty requires it. I'm going to stop right here tonight. Let's stand to our feet and they come with a song.